This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan as we move into hour number 4 of Peace-a-thon. Check in with us. What hour are you on? And right now we bring to you Super Bowl winning head coach Brian Billick. Good morning. Thank you for jumping on with us today.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you as well.
Coach, I just poured cranberry sauce into my pants and sang song before for donation money. Have you ever done anything that wild for donation money before?
I'm guessing there was some drinking involved or alcohol involved as well.
You'd be surprised how sober we are right now.
Oh, then that's just scary. That, you know, at least you can understand it if you've been imbibing, but otherwise that's just scary.
Now, you got into the BYU Athletics Hall of Fame. You're nice. Already in the Ravens Ring of Honor. What honor do you think is next for you? Who should be honoring you next?
Well, I hope it's something to do with my golf game. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but I'd love to be on. I'd like to be honored with a hole in one. I'm new to the game. Just picked it up a few years ago. I'm addicted, like intervention type addicted, and I'm still waiting for that hole in one. So that's probably the next honor I'm looking for.
Do you happen to know what your score was the very first time you played a full 18 holes of golf?
You know, that's a good question. It's amazing. I used to have disdain for the game when I was working and raising kids and whatever. I just didn't understand how guys were so obsessed with it. And now I get it. That's a good question. No, I'm sure it was in the hundreds or something. You know, it's just, I'm at the point where I can get on in regulation anywhere, nice. but I can four putt any green in America. So it's just killing me.
So we have a morning show host who's sitting up with us right now who boldly has proclaimed that they can shoot under a 90 or maybe even an 80 the first time they ever golf, which we all think is absurd.
I could do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll go down as one of the other great lies known to man. That's like listening to what was it when Biden and Trump were arguing about both saying they were in single-digit handicaps. That, I'll bet a month's salary against that one.
That is wonderful.
Bringing the golf and political heat.
Love it, love it.
Brian Billick right here on 105.3 The Fan.
This AFC is a wild beast right now. The way that Kansas City was winning very close games early in the season, and then obviously they just got their first loss against Buffalo. Could you foresee something like that happening in the way that Baltimore and Buffalo are all going after it right now?
Well, it's exciting because everybody everybody's touching. Everybody's so close to one another. Now, Kansas City has kind of been the differential, but you're right. In an uncharacteristic, all these close, tight games because of the profile they're playing with now. But I think you have, particularly on the top end, whether it's Baltimore, whether it's Buffalo, you know, even Pittsburgh's been playing at that level. I think the Chargers, Denver's been playing very well. All of them are very, very capable. They're none of them, although Kansas City clearly is they've got the pedigree and the path to, but you know, I'm not a better, but I'd have a tough time betting on a game against any of these teams because they're all very, very capable. Buffalo is the one that kind of interests me right now, and Baltimore, because you can see the way Baltimore can be dominant. With the running game between Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and their ability to get the ball down the field. Their defense isn't quite as good. So, you know, you get a head scratcher when they lose to the Raiders or they lose, you know, then at Pittsburgh, but then come back and Pittsburgh the same way. Beat the Ravens and then come back and lose to the Browns. But Buffalo is a team, they struggled a little bit early, but they seem to be, to me, of all the teams that we're talking about, and even though Kansas City's right there and sitting there at 10-1, Buffalo seems to be carrying themselves, and Josh Allen's playing at a level. They're the ones of the teams. That's the ones that I'm most interested in to see if they can truly separate themselves and be the team to beat Kansas City or Baltimore and go to the Super Bowl.
I have to admit, I am very interested in rooting for Baltimore. I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's gotten unfairly criticized at times, but it feels like last year was maybe their year to make it to the Super Bowl. Should we believe in the Ravens come playoff time? Because you were just talking about like how nip and tuck it is with all of these teams.
Yeah, Baltimore, because they've got the pedigree, because they have such that unique talent of Lamar Jackson, and now that the ability to run the ball the way they do, have the big play down the field. The biggest question that I would have, and that's the thing about all these teams. So I can give you three or four reasons why every single one of them is going to go to the Super Bowl, but I can give you a couple reasons why they're not. And with Baltimore, the biggest question I have is the defense at times looks more vulnerable than we're used to seeing in Baltimore. And then Justin Tucker, the kicker, who's usually been automatic and the real difference maker, I think, notwithstanding Lamar Jackson, on why that team is always, you know, a championship run, because when it comes down to the margins and the edge, he's going to make the difference. He has shown some vulnerabilities there. So those two things, different from the previous three or four years with the Ravens, would be the biggest question marks I have for Baltimore.
Coach, what's going on with San Francisco? I mean, it's a team that was returning a good portion of their core back this season and has been, you know, one of the more dominant teams in the league over the last couple of years. And they just can't seem to finish games. What's happened to them this year?
Well, the injuries, the lack of developing a momentum. I mean, their formula has been classic for as long as Shanahan's been there. They're going to play dominating defense. They're going to run the ball, keep the margins tight, not give up big plays, not turn the ball over and get enough plays out of our quarterbacks to win. But that's when you got to do those five things, you got to do all five things. And if any one of them or two of them fall off in a given game, then you're just not going to win. And that's where they are right now. They just don't seem to have the complete balance and the rhythm to finish these things off. And for a lot of different reasons, not the least of which has been the injuries, of course. But their formula, they don't have that Lamar Jackson that can just get you through that tough game, get you through that tough spot when you're not playing well, when you're not Patrick Mahomes, an Allen, you know, the kind of guys that can say, okay, we don't quite have it today, but I'm going to pull us over the threshold and we're going to get a win and then we'll get back on balance next week. They really don't have that. And so they've been on the backside of it. And it just is not a year that's going to happen for them.
Brian Billick joining us here on The Fan. I've got a general league trend question for you. So, you know, you mentioned the style that San Francisco's done. A lot of teams it's kind of been cyclical. They've returned back to the running game having more prominence in recent years. And, you know, in basketball recently, people were talking about, oh, the mid-range game is coming back. And, oh, in baseball, stolen bases have started coming back a little bit more. Is there something that you see is on the horizon, something that's a little more cyclical that like, hey, this older way of doing things that's kind of gone by the wayside, this is a trend that's going to start coming back soon?
Well, you'd always, you know, everybody says, yeah, you got to be able to run the ball, okay? But and which is a lie because the way we throw the ball around and the way the game is played. But because defenses, in reaction to the spread out game and the way it's so vertical and up and down the field, defenses have gotten smaller and their personnel groupings. I mean, it used to be, you know, you'd be in base defense 60% of the time, and then nickel 40% of the time, and then it flipped. You were in base 40% of the time and nickel 60% of the time. There are teams around the league right now as a trend that may be in base defense less than 10% of the time.
Wow.
Because of the way people are spreading it out. Well, a lot of people saying, okay, if that's the case, I'm going to get more physical and I'm going to be the counter to that and we're going to run. And so the defenses having to get that way to adapt to the offenses are now more vulnerable to the run, so more people are trying to take advantage of that. So the running game, I think, is coming back more into prominence, and more people will see that as a way to get their wins, to try to be more physical and run the ball and truly go along those dictates compared to the, you know, a few years ago where everybody said, yeah, you want to run the ball, but at the end of the day, we were so spread out, you had to pass it.
Now, we've talked a whole lot on this show, and obviously the league has.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talked a lot about it as well, player safety, and I was hoping to kind of get some info from you about the X-Tech pads and what you're doing there and what they're working with.
Well, I'm very proud of being a part of X-Tech pads. We're the number one pad in pro football, major fives, top high schools around the country. You know, in the old days, you know, big guys wore big pads, little guys wore little pads, but now, like everything, the way we train our players, X-Tech pads is the next iteration in terms of taking care of our players, the special technology. And more than anything else, it's because they're kind of fitted to the players. You don't just say big guys get big pads, little guys get little pads. These pads are fitted to you based on your age, your height, your weight, your injury history, your position. In fact, people can go online. Our Black Friday sale's on right now through Monday, 20% off. And you can actually get online and have help through our equipment manager online that will help form fit as to what these young people need to be in. I've got two grandsons that are going to wear X-Tech pads because it's the best protection possible for them. Go to xtechpads.com, and now's the time to check it out because this is the next wave of protection for our young people.
Man, thank you very much for that info for the Black Friday sale and for jumping on with us on our show today. We really appreciate the time, good sir.
Glad to do it, guys.
There you go. Brian Billick right here on 105.3 The Fan. Fun side story about that. One time, Sean and RJ, this is pre-Bobby, we're going to have Brian Billick on, and they put, and it was going to be the next day, and they put Tom for tomorrow and Billick. And so we immediately were like, who is Tom Billick? And then Corey, I believe, recommended that people text Sean in the morning when that interview was coming up about when Tom Billick was coming on. And he said at the time, this is the last time I ever include you guys on a text. And for a while, I believe it was the last time.
He did not approve. But I love Brian Billick. I think he's a phenomenal coach. I love him. He's a good dude to talk to.
Absolutely. I wanted to throw out a couple of things. By the way, if you throw something spicy out on the fan text, do not be surprised if you get a spicy response. But we're raising the money today for My Possibilities, 1053thefan.com/peaceathon. Want to bring your attention to a couple of different items that we got directly from Magic Johnson and his charity. Item number 151 and item number 160, a Magic Johnson autographed jersey and a Magic Johnson autographed basketball from the man himself, emblazoned with the number 32. He heard about our cause. He wants to help raise money. If you guys want to bid on that and get something that you know is authentic, those are the two I would like to bring up right now.
Absolutely, man. There's some really great stuff out there. That Corey Seager autograph hat, $100 right now. I think that can go for a lot more.
That can go way higher.
And also, don't forget about our Dallas Cowboys autograph football. That was something that while we were out in Ventura, we grabbed one of the footballs from they make a lot of food out there.
They
do. We grabbed one of those football. What's that?
Theft.
Yeah. Well, no, they said we could have it.
Oh, okay.
So we did ask Bobby. They did, Kevin.
Did they?
I asked Vanessa. She's
I didn't
amazing.
Ask for mine. No. I just
she
took
got the
it.
Curly hair. So we asked her.
I recall that.
Every player that hopped on on with us and G-Bag signed the ball. Most of the people that got on with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show did not because they forgot. But it's okay. We got most of them. So everything's good there.
I like that you say, we asked Vanessa with the curly hair, like, curly hair is enough of a detail to be like, oh, valid. Okay,
yeah,
he clearly
yeah,
asked.
Exactly.
He said there was a girl with curly hair.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby, what do you think about this critique? Bobby is much more entertaining with y'all when he's not being held back by a pair of Yankees. Do you think that is an actual text that we actually got?
I don't know, Mike. I know it's an actual text. Mike, have I been any better today than I normally am on the morning show?
I've enjoyed you thoroughly.
Thank you.
That's nice.
See, that sounds good.
Coming up next.
And honest.
We will talk with former Vanderbilt baseball head coach Roy Mewburn, born, if you're fancy. And also, more fun and shenanigans right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan in the midst of hour number four of Peace-a-thon. And so this is going to be an interesting little pivot right here. By the way, we just got a John Cena replica spinner belt, an authentic one. And this is the good leather right here. And so I know you can't see it because it's John Cena, but we are going to put that up for auction as well. Thank you very much to Michael for making that happen as well. As we'll get into some stuff about Pokemon cards. But right now, I want to turn our attention to former Vanderbilt baseball head coach Roy Mewburn. Now, obviously, he used to coach Vanderbilt, and that is very important. But we're bringing Roy on for a whole another reason today as well, as you are also the parent of a hipster, are you not?
That's correct. My son, Richie, I call him. We call him Richie.
Roy, how did you find out about My Possibilities, and what have you learned over the years working with them?
Well, it's an interesting thing. We when I left coaching and retired from coaching and stuff, and we moved from Nashville to Texas, the person who's responsible for this is my wife. She's quite a person in finding the right place and the right things and all. And we were very fortunate. She came out here. We were trying to buy a house at one point and came out here to visit and started looking around and heard about my possibilities. And when she came back, she came back and stuff from being out here because my daughter was living here at the time and started living here. She came back. She said, "I think I found a place." And I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah." And also, there's a new housing development right close by and all. And I think it'd be a good place for us. And you talk about lucky. We were just so lucky to find My Possibilities, and So we've been in it quite a long period of time with my son. Well, it's been 10 years now we've been associated with him after moving here. So my son has cerebral palsy. He had that since birth and all, and it, you know, cerebral palsy affected his speech and his some of his fine motor skills, and it's affected his, you know, intelligence and stuff like that to some degree. But he has accomplished just so much in his life. We've been very fortunate to find people that could help him, keep him involved in things, and he loves being involved with people at all. So, but that's how I came to find out about my possibilities, and then getting to know them a little more. You know, here I am, a retired guy coming to a new area, and I was trying to find something for me to kind of get involved with, you know, because I just became retired. And, you know, I didn't know what my days were going to be like, but I needed something to kind of keep me involved in something. And I had, after retiring at Vanderbilt, I went to work at Middle Tennessee State University, which is in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Middle was played in the same league with North Texas and stuff like that, teams like that. And I got an opportunity to be a fundraiser for them. And I had done a lot of fundraising at Vanderbilt. I got started in fundraising there. And I got hired to fundraise in their athletic department, and had done that for 6 or 7 years, I guess. So when I got out here and just trying to figure out what I was going to do, I went into the started talking to them about, I knew they were raising money for different things, and I said, well, you know, I think I can help in this a little bit. Let me see what I can do. And they, you know, talked to me and that kind of thing, and I kind of kept giving them some of my background and that kind of thing, what all I'd been involved in, and raising money and talking to people and doing things to raise money. And but I slowly but surely I decided, okay, I'm gonna help them out here, and all, or try to help them. And what I did, I went out and started calling my friends, a few relatives, and a lot of my former players. And my son, he sat on the bench many a day with me and the team and stuff. And he traveled on a lot of buses, road trips. He was really close to the players. I really thought it was when I looked back at it, I thought, man, this was a great thing for my team and stuff, because, you know, they're out there playing with no problems at all and playing the game, and it's just easy for them. And the game wasn't so easy for my son and all, but he got so close to those guys, and those guys, you know, they treated him like a player, you know. They kid with him, and they did all kinds of stuff and joked with him and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it was so I thought, well, I'll try to raise a little money by contacting those guys. They know who he is and stuff. And sure enough, I started calling out. And to this day, when I hear from a former player, I won't be talking on the phone more than – a minute, and they're all they want to know about is how Rich is doing. What's he doing? When is he? You know, it's an amazing thing. But I had that connection, and that kind of got me started with MP and this type of thing, and then following along with what they've what has transpired in the 10 years that we have lived here, what all they have gone through, the new campus and all that they have now, and the new buildings that they have done. It's, you don't find many nonprofit organizations that, or at least I don't think you do, can they think about things that is needed there. And if they have to raise money for it, they're going to succeed at it. They're not going to fail at it. They're an amazing group of people, and dedicated to people that have disabilities.
That is wonderful stuff right there, Roy.
I love those testimonies.
Yes,
sorry, Cora,
absolutely.
I really do.
We currently have two former major league pitchers, Derek Holland and Mike Bassick, in studio, both left-handed pitchers. How important is it to have two left-handed pitchers in your rotation? Or are you like, no, righties are better?
I'm gonna give you a little story at all here, because I'm left-handed.
Okay.
But I do a lot of things right-handed. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a left-handed thrower, right-handed hitter, right-handed golfer, right-handed bowler, left-footed kicker. You name it, I'm all messed up.
Uh-huh.
at all. And I blame this on my dad, but I know it's not that. Growing up, my dad take me in the backyard and play ball, you know, and stuff. And he'd be pitching to me and stuff. And we had about three balls is what we had. And he'd get me up there left-handed, and I'd hit those three balls. Well, then Dad would walk down and get the balls and come back. And he'd come back, and I'd be standing there right-handed. He said, what are you standing over there for?
Yeah.
Get back on the left-hand side of the plate. So I'd hit him again, and he'd go down there, and the next thing he'd come back. Finally, and I'm standing on the right-hand side of the plate, and he says, well, do you just feel comfortable over there? And I said, I guess so. So he finally just said, well, just stay over there then. And so I became a right-handed hitter, you know, at all. But getting back to the left-handed pitchers, I ended up having a – hire a pitching coach one year at Vanderbilt, and I went out and I'd heard about this guy, and I made a lot of calls. You start searching for a guy. I made a lot of calls to college coaches that I knew and scouts that I knew and people of that nature to see if they had knew of somebody that might be a really good quality pitching guy. And man, this, I mean, I'd called up in the north and to the over in the east side of the country and stuff, and down further south and all. This guy's name kept coming up everywhere. So finally, and he was at Stetson, and I finally said, okay, let me call this guy and ask to speak to him and all. And the coach told me, he said, I don't think you're going to be able to get him. And I said, well, okay. But when I did, I got him to come visit, and we got him and stuff. And those pitchers you got there with you, they'll probably know this guy, Derek Johnson.
Oh, Derek Johnson.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I get that guy. I bring that guy to campus, and during my interview with him and stuff, I said, we're talking and stuff, and he finally said, Coach, my ideal dream of a pitching staff, he said, is a staff of about 10, when there's nine of them left-handed and one of them right-handed, and that's the closer.
That's the way to go right there.
And that guy, well, and then another little thing about him Middle Tennessee was recruiting at that time, you know, against Vanderbilt and all and stuff. And a little later, after Derek got there, man, we started getting some left-handers and on our staff. And finally, one of the assistant coaches at Middle asked me, he saw me one day, and he said, Heine. He said, how in the world is Vanderbilt getting all these quality left-handed pitchers nowadays? I said, you hadn't figured it out yet? He said, no, I hadn't. I said, well, the reason they're getting them is he's a former left-handed pitcher. And the guy just almost fell on the floor.
There it is.
At all, and you had a left-hander teaching a left-hander, you know?
That is the way it is.
Yeah, so it was quite something to have, and he's, boy, that guy was really good.
That is wonderful. Roy, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate you hopping on with us, and appreciate what you do with My Possibilities. And tell Richie we're sending some love to him today.
All right. Well, we appreciate y'all, and thank you very much for all y'all do for us. And I know the people at MP do too. So thank you very much.
Yes, sir. There he goes, Roy Mewborn, right there, former Vanderbilt coach and father of a hipster at My Possibilities.
Best part about that interview, he kept Mike and Derek from asking any baseball questions.
I'm sorry about that.
Good job, Roy. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we'll continue with Bobby Belt. Pop him back on the mic. Are these NFL contenders or pretenders? And no, I did not include the Cowboys. We'll do it next right here on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. I've got some questions about contenders or pretenders in the NFL, but two things have developed during the break. First of all, Daniel Jones is signing with the Vikings, but also Derek Holland has discovered Cronuts. Which one of those would you guys like to dive into first?
Derek, your thoughts on the Cronut?
That was really good.
Yes. Mike is, when I introduced him to the Cronut, he was like, that's become his life goal.
I got a lesson on how to eat properly the Cronuts.
Yeah, you can take the flaky layers apart where there's just, it's so buttery and sugary and flaky, and I'm not lying about Cronuts, am I?
No, you were right about Cronuts. They're awesome.
They should destroy donuts.
Yes.
Yeah, they should.
Donuts should be done.
Of the two, which one's actually healthier?
Oh man, I can't.
Probably the donut.
I can't imagine the Cronut is healthy at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they
more
either,
butter in the croissant. Probably.
I assume because it more is glaze. Buttery and flaky, and
it's denser too.
So you don't think the Cronuts are healthier?
No, I think the Cronuts are probably worse. Yeah.
Worse.
Okay. Yeah. I just asked Derek. He ate a McGriddle and then a Cronut. I was like, more carbs in the last 5 minutes than you ingested during all of your rehab? And he said, probably.
I wouldn't say it's that true, but I haven't had McDonald's in who knows how long.
Now, Bobby, for Daniel Jones signing with the Vikings, I realized wherever he was going to sign was most likely going to be a team that already had their established quarterback and everything like that. Outside of adding depth, is there any part, even this late in the season, that you think this is a breaking case of Sam Darnold is still a fraud emergency?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, Darnold's not played as well in recent weeks. And I mean, look, if there's any spot, I thought San Francisco would have been interesting because it's just if Purdy is having issues with his arm and they want to make some sort of a playoff run, Kyle Shanahan's shown he's been able to in the past kind of plug and play people at quarterback. So I thought San Francisco would have been interesting, but Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell is about the, like, I don't know that there's a better coach to try and rebuild somebody's confidence. And Daniel Jones has about the most broken confidence in the NFL. I mean, you look at the fact that he did a lot to rebuild Kirk Cousins' confidence. He did a lot of that with Sam Darnold. There was that viral clip a couple weeks ago of Anthony Richardson after the Vikings Colts game. He goes up to him and it just shows what a good dude he is. There's no incentive for him to go up and tell Anthony Richardson, like, hey, keep your head up. You're a really good player. You're going to play in the league for a long time, yada, yada, yada. And he did all that, and Anthony Richardson talked about it, how much it meant to him. And he is such a strong communicator and players coach and somebody who builds his guys up that I think Daniel Jones, for as mentally broken as he seemed to be this year, that might be as good of a spot as there is for him to kind of rebuild his confidence.
I think he's got a really good point there. He tried to build the confidence of Kirk Cousins up, and it looked like it worked for a period of time. Sam Darnold, as well. It's just Daniel Jones just can't throw a deep ball, and he's got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison to throw to, and I'm like, hey, he's not going to be able to use those guys, but he's an emergency guy anyway.
Now, this is one of the teams on my list. I'm curious, do you guys think the Vikings are contenders or pretenders? I'm still going to go with pretenders just because of the regression I've seen from Sam Darnold.
I feel like they have... like when I looked and saw that, what, they're 9-2 now, 8-2.
Correct.
Like when I saw they won this weekend, they were 9-2. I was like, I could have sworn they had 4 losses at this point. Like if it's felt like they've had, I think they've played down to some competition in recent weeks. But then they've got other games where it's like they were in a position to beat Detroit. They've been in a better position to beat Detroit than anybody else has in recent weeks. And so, I think that Minnesota, I'm a little hesitant with that, especially because of the quarterback situation. So I would lean pretender, but I don't feel great about it.
So. Here's the great news. If they can keep that
NFC
record,
stinks.
Yeah, they get to play the NFC South winner. So if you're telling me, oh, they're a pretender, well, let me ask you this, Kevin, back to you. Do you think they're a pretender against Tampa Bay or Atlanta in the playoffs?
Nope.
Well, then...
Because then you're in the final eight. You're in the division.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to beat Detroit in the playoffs. They'll probably not beat Philadelphia in the playoffs. But if I look at how pathetic the NFC is, this is the most pathetic it's been in the history of football. Then you just look at Minnesota and go, well, yeah, I don't think they're good. I think they're an average team, but they're going to get to play another average team most likely in the first round.
Atlanta versus Minnesota is just, that's a crapshoot because you don't know which Atlanta team showed up. Atlanta can show up and beat the brakes off people. And then there are other weeks they show up and they look
and
awful.
I guess the other thing, too, is the division winner of the NFC West is going to be 10-7.
Probably, yeah. So, but, I mean, you could get Cousins versus the Vikings in the playoffs. That'd be great. We'd get all the storylines.
Oh, those storylines are the ones that I want to.
All right. I thought you were going to crap on them. Okay, this is Kirk Cousins. What about the Cardinals then? Because I'm going to stick with the NFC theme for now. The Cardinals and the 49ers. So let's just go and knock out both of the teams in the division.
I'm going to say they're real, not taco, Kevin, because they are what they are 6-5. So I'm not saying they're contenders or pretenders. I think they're just... They are what they are, and that is a 6-5 football team that's getting they're getting better with Kyler Murray, but they're just so inconsistent. I have no clue what to think of them.
Are you saying they are who they thought they were?
Exactly. Yes.
We thought they were.
Yeah, Arizona's interesting because week one, they very easily could have beaten Buffalo. Were in control of that game for a while, and they've proven to be a difficult challenge for a lot of people. When Kyler Murray's clicking, he's really difficult to stop. So, but I think Corey's right. Like Arizona's basically just kind of what their record says there, and they just happen to be in the NFC West, which allows them to be a contender for their division. I don't know that they're going to beat anybody regularly. I don't know what the hell's wrong with San Francisco. San Francisco is the most, like, when you just look at the margins in their box scores, the way that they're playing against some of these teams that they've lost to, they're outgaining teams by 140 yards. They're having, you know, double the third down conversions. They're turning the ball over less. It's like, and you lose, like you just collapse at the end of these games. And so something just feels broken with them that I've been waiting for them to just click and turn it around. This past week was just like, I think that's nail in the coffin for them. They're pretenders.
I got two things, Bobby, that I think on
two
that. Two things. One is they played more football than a lot of teams over the last 4 or 5 years now.
Yep.
Because they've gone so deep into it, except for Kansas City, who somehow figures it out. And those injuries are taking a toll on them this year, specifically on offense. But there's also a great man once told me, the only statistic that matters is points, not yards. And that is Mike Bassick that said that. Points are more important, and when it gets to the red zone, they fall apart. I've been watching them over and over, and I don't know if it's play calling and McCaffrey not having been there, and Jordan Mason, they weren't using him as a receiver out of the backfield. They were just like, you runny, that's it. And so I don't know if Purdy just didn't know what his options were elsewhere because they didn't use him that way or what, but they did collapse a lot of times in the red zone.
It's going to start... You're starting to hear more and more just rumbling like the heat could start getting turned up on Kyle Shanahan soon.
Yep, that is something I've heard more and more, and maybe even on John Lynch a little bit too.
Maybe not now, though. Maybe they were looking at Mike McCarthy, and now that they know that he possibly is going back to the Cowboys.
Right, like, I mean, it kind of puts it in jeopardy a little bit. That, look, he's won 12 games 3 years in a row, guys.
Yeah. I automatically dismiss the Commanders because they lost to the Cowboys, but what about the Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, have you guys seen the chart of Kyle Shanahan's offenses?
Yes.
When he's coached. So if you look, they're basically all their efficiency numbers for offense, It rises at the start of the season, peaks in October, and then nosedives in November and December. Every single year that he's been a coach in
Cliff
the NFL.
Kingsbury?
Or Cliff Kingsbury, yeah. Who did I say?
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I was
Kyle
like,
Shanahan.
You're doing a basic
no,
here.
No, I had Kyle Shanahan on the brain. No, but Cliff Kingsbury, his offense will like peak in October and then bottom out in November. And that's exactly what's happening again this year, is that it's almost like he starts off well, and then when defenses start adjusting to what he's put out on tape, he has no response to it. The best line I heard this week actually about his offense, they said it's a daylight savings time offense. As soon as we fall back, I was quoting somebody though. As soon as they fall back, that's what happens to Cliff's offense. But no, they're you can't lose to the Giants and the Cowboys back to back weeks and make me feel like you're a contender. So no, they're a pretender.
And then quick, Packers, contender or pretender?
Contender, but they're not as good as I feel like everybody says they are. Like, there have been a lot of games this year where it's like, you should not have had to fight as hard as you did to win that game.
Contender, because Jordan Love can get hotter than anybody throwing a football, but he can also throw you to a loss.
Yeah, when he's healthy, he's really good. And when
kind
he's
of
not,
the
he's
Romo weird. Of the, when yeah, Romo was yeah, in his yeah, prime, yeah. he's now way. The Romo of this league.
Thank you very much.
And the Chiefs,
sir.
Pretenders.
Oh, man, hey, you have been fiery about that for a while. All right, thank you very much, Phony. Bobby Belt. For hanging out with us for a couple of hours as part of Peace-a-thon. Coming up next, we will kick off hour number 5. We will welcome in RJ Choppy as well as former Texas Rangers pitcher, 4-time All-Star, and World Series champion Cole Hamels next on The Fan.